Okay.
And we're here.
Now I'm worried about the volume.
All right. How's the volume sound, everybody?
Because the volume last night, I couldn't figure out why it wasn't working correctly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I got to make sure that the microphone volume's good.
Because now it's like, now I don't want it to be like way too loud, right. And everyone's like, stop it.
It says it's getting good signal. How's the sound, everybody?
Make it stop. Make it. Volume is good. Okay, that's good.
You're saying volume's good?
I mean, okay. I turned it up, so it's like, I don't know why. I don't know. The settings were the same as they always been, and then suddenly last night it was like super, super quiet. Cat sabotage. That's what I suspect.
All right. This is all right. All right. So today we're going to talk about this damn Korean zombie movie that we saw the other day. Well, it wasn't last night. I think it was the night before last.
Yeah, we watched it like a couple nights ago, I think.
Now, we all know that the top number one Korean zombie movie is Train to Busan.
Hard to beat that one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
hard
that's
to beat
a really
that
fucking
one.
Good movie.
But I tell you what, this one's right there with it.
This I like right this one a lot. It's called Hashtag Alive.
Yeah. It's only got like a couple of characters in it, and it's not so much action, more like survival. They're trapped in the damn apartment building. So that's the way they come with this. Instead of going all over Korea and all these different places and on the train, trapped on the train, they're just trapped in the apartment. So there's all these little practical things that they have to do to get around this fucking zombie pandemic. They are pretty much kind of like the same zombies, when you say? They're pretty much the same zombies.
They look similar, like with the white eyes and the kind of, and they're fast. And they're not technically, I guess they're not technically, they're more like 28 days later, like rage zombies, because I don't think they're technically dead, are they?
Yeah, they're dead.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They're
I
dead.
Guess so.
They come back to life.
But it comes back, but it's hard to, like, it's kind of hard to say because sometimes people get bit and then they just go, and then they turn into, you know, zombies. So you don't really know if they died or if they just, like, got infected.
Well, that's the way it was in Train to Busan.
That's true.
Train to Busan, they would turn almost immediately. You get bit and within a few minutes you were going to turn.
Which, yeah, you'd be super hosed if that happened in real
life. Yeah, and they kind of remember who they were and certain things. They have skills, opening doors and pressing buttons, you
climbing
know,
buildings.
Climbing things. Yeah. So, but that's the way they were in Train to Busan.
Yeah.
So it looks like the movie was written to fit right in with Train to Busan, almost kind of like, you know what I mean, like fanfics. Not really fanfic, but extra canonical. Because it's not the same people.
Yeah, because like it's almost kind of like it's the same outbreak but happening somewhere else.
Yeah, it's like the same outbreak but it's happening in another place.
Like in another part of Korea.
And it seems to be the damn same zombies. And it's kind of neat, you know what I mean? Fucking dude's trapped into his apartment. He doesn't know what to do. His parents are gone. He's a kid. Not really a kid.
Yeah, well, he's a teenager. Or early 20s. Early and 20s. I guess his job is he's like a video game live streamer because he's got like in his room, he's got like all the equipment, like all the screens and everything like that. So I guess that's what he does.
Yeah.
But he's in the apartment alone. And I guess normally his parents and sister also live there, but they have gone somewhere else. I don't even know if they said like where they went.
But no,
like,
they didn't make it back. They were at the dad's office, weren't they?
Or something like that. Yeah, they had gone somewhere and he had stayed home.
Yeah, so they got separated. And he didn't have any food in the apartment, or not much.
Yeah,
he ended up
any.
Pretty quick. And he had to start drinking the booze to stay alive. Because then the water went out.
Which, hey, booze has water in it.
Yeah.
That's what I said when I was watching it. I was like, that's legit.
And he's got TV. He's got TV, but it doesn't have a real good online connection. It's intermittent. And they have power, I think, through most of the movie. But the water goes out.
Yeah, the water goes out before the power does.
Yeah, and he's trapped in an apartment building. And, you know, he doesn't know whether or not he's in there by himself. And eventually he finds out there are a few other people in there. I can't really spoil it. But what's it called? It's called Hashtag what?
Alive.
Alive. Yeah, Hashtag Alive. That's the name of it. It's on Netflix. And I recommend it. It's good. It's real good.
Yeah, I really liked it. Like I said, it has... The nice thing about this, and also about Train to Busan, the weird thing about this movie, though, which I didn't actually realize, was that this movie was actually written by a Hollywood screenwriter named Matt Naylor. He wrote it back in 2019, and it was initially called Hashtag Alone. And then he started collaborating with the director of this movie, Cho Il-hyung. And then they kind of like collaborated on the script and like got it to where they wanted. And then they made the movie like together. So I thought that was kind of interesting that it wasn't you know, originally. Yeah. It was just like some American dude's
Mango screenplay, Mango's I guess. Saying that Train to Busan is amazing, but he didn't hear very good things about the sequel.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I didn't know the sequel was out yet.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't out yet either. I thought it was going to come out like pretty soon though, yeah. Right? I mean, I thought, what's the name of the sequel? I totally had a brain fart.
It's more like a post-apocalyptic.
Peninsula?
I think it might be something like that. It's more of a post-apocalyptic movie.
Yeah, which...
You know, kind of like, because it's sometime after the outbreak. And, you know, it's kind of gone Walking Dead on them. You know, crossing Walking Dead and Mad Max. I'm still going to give it a fair shot.
Well, yeah.
I don't take other people's words for it. I got to really see it myself. I liked the first one. I'm going to go ahead and trust that maybe the second one will at least be decent. But this one's good. If you like Train to Busan, you'll like this one.
Yeah, because I think they do a good job of mixing in character drama with the zombie apocalypse. This one is not quite as... Because I think Train to Busan is like more frenetic, like more action-packed, because it's like this train is moving and it's just like everywhere they stop, like there's zombies.
There's a lot of characters
and there's and they're like all this stuff. This is kind of a more intimate, like, and it's more based around survival, and it's based around this guy being alone, stuck in his apartment. He doesn't know what to do. He's running out of food. There's like zombies everywhere. And
so it gives you kind of, for me, I liked it because it kind of had elements of Omega Man in it
a little bit.
Of, you know, with Charlton Heston, the kid. But he's a young kid. He's not a military guy. He's just trying to figure out how to fucking survive. And it gets depressing for him. It's good. It's a good movie.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's kind of... I think that's what a lot of people, like, you know, responded so well to Train to Busan is you really, really gave a shit about the characters. You cared about them because they took some time, you know, establishing these characters and making you like them. And then they're in these, you know, terrible situations and you're thinking, oh shit, like what would I do in that situation and shit like that. So they're really good at doing that. And, so, you know, this poor guy and then like the other people that he meets along the way.
Yeah.
And another thing too, there's, and like I said, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's one point where they meet another person and, ooh, that did not go the way I expected.
Yeah. Sandra's, she pulled out the Cheston. That's right, Cheston.
The Cheston.
Cheston. Like, Cheston, keep your fucking shirt on, bro.
Yeah,
don't take your shirt off, Cheston.
But.
Yeah. Fucking, what are you thinking, Cheston?
Well, like I said, back in the old
Bronson
days.
Bronson could take his shirt off, not Cheston.
Yeah, like I said. Yeah. Well, and the thing Bronson about it is that. And when we were talking about the Charles Bronson thing, I didn't even realize he was that jacked because, you know, I hadn't seen, like, a lot of his really older movies. And, like, by the time he got famous over here, he was, like, a lot older and wasn't taking his shirt off, which everyone probably appreciated. Yeah. But it really did seem like, I think in the 60s and 70s, you know, the standards weren't, you know, as high. As long as you were a guy and you weren't, like, you know, super fat or anything like that. You know,
Bronson was
could
jacked,
take your shirt off.
Bronson was jacked well into his well into his late 50s. He was looking great in his 40s. A lot of people didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah.
It wasn't really until he was in his 60s and 70s. You know what I mean? You could tell Bronson drank.
You know,
I think he fucking drank a lot.
Well, we all do.
He was sitting there. You know, he drank a lot. And he was spending
everybody
time
did
on
back then.
Yeah, and he was spending a lot of time on that damn farm that he had.
So
out there in
all,
the damn woods.
He's getting all weathered.
He didn't give a shit. Yeah, he made his money.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah, this is a good movie. Just got to say, I'm going to give it 3 thumbs up, and I only got 2. I'm going to give it 3 thumbs up.
Yes, Tom enjoyed this one very much. I enjoyed it as well.
I give it 3 thumbs up on the back of no Hollywood bullshit. It's just, it doesn't feel like a Hollywood bullshit movie. It just feels like they're going to tell you a fucking story. You know what I mean? And they're not compromising. I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. And like I said, I liked the way they kind of... I like when they thrust somebody that is not necessarily who you'd want on your side during a zombie apocalypse, but they kind of like learn as they go and like figure stuff out. And like, so I really like the way he kind of like went on and, you know, and he gets depressed and he thinks like, you know, there's no point or anything. Yeah. But then like he kind of... gets hope back and, like, you know, rallies to the cause.
I'm really hoping that Dune is not a Hollywood movie. The fucking trailer looks very good. The Blade Runner sequel was great. I liked it. And those movies, they weren't compromising. All right. They were just going to tell you the fucking story. If they were compromising and going through a damn checklist. You see, I hate movies that are built by a committee. And a Hollywood movie is built by a fucking committee. And they're going to go down through a checklist and fucking, how are we going to fucking, you know, pander to all these different kinds of people in the same movie? How are we going to make a movie that everybody likes? When you start trying to make a movie that everybody likes, nobody's going to like it. It's going to be
watered down. You can't appeal to everybody. You just can't. And it's like, there's no point in trying.
Watered down bullshit Hollywood fake tentpole movie that nobody sees nowadays. Their shit's fucking crumbling. At least in Korea, they're not big budget movies. There aren't a bunch of fucking producers with their hands in the pot going, I got to triple my investment, right? I got to triple my investment. And then all these fucking advertising companies going, well, to do it this way, we're having all this fucking corporate jargon. And next thing you know, you got a piece of shit movie with no artistic value at all. No artistic vision. It's just a generic bullshit fucking movie. The Koreans these are not big budget movies, and they're not trying to sell them everywhere. They're just trying to sell them to Koreans.
Yeah, this was specifically, even though it was initially written by an American, the script, him and the director, wrote it for the Korean market.
Yeah.
And it actually, when they released it over there, because I think it came out in late June over there, I don't know if it came out in theaters or just came out on streaming, but it was actually hugely successful. It took 60, 70% of the box office that week when it came out.
Well, I'm going to fucking go ahead and give my testimony. Let me testify. Let me testify, Jenny. I'm going to give my testimonial. Because it's marketed towards the Korean peninsula, they're not giving a shit. So what you end up with, this is a movie that's fucking not compromising and sticking to basics of good storytelling. So it ends up being appealing everywhere.
Well, yeah.
Because they fucking wrote a good... These Hollywood fuckers need to stop listening to these corporate windbags. Just make a good fucking movie. Don't try to sell it to everybody. Make a good movie and everyone will buy into it if it's good. You can't do it with these damn checklists.
Well, and like I said too, you can't make everyone happy. There's always some people that aren't going to like it no matter what you do. So it's like, don't worry about it.
And here's the thing. This movie wasn't trying to make everybody happy, but it made everybody happy because it was a good quality story.
Yeah.
That's all.
And like I said, I think on the back of it being so successful in Korea, Netflix picked it up.
Yeah,
In September, it just came on the platform September 12th, a couple days ago, and it just immediately shot to number one, not just in the U.S. but all over Europe and shit like that. So, like you said, they didn't make it for a worldwide audience.
All you gotta do is look at Mulan. Now Tammy's in there going, "Preach, Tom." I'm testifying. It's beyond preaching. Okay, I'm testifying before the court. Okay. Mulan is a great example of trying to make everybody fucking happy, and that shit is fucking bombing. All right, they tried to go for this fucking global appeal. It doesn't work because the audience member watching this movie is not the globe. He's an individual. He or she is an individual person. If you just fucking tell a story that an individual person can relate to, you don't have to worry about that global shit. That shit comes automatically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're watering the shit down with this global bullshit. Just tell a good fucking story that an individual viewer can relate to. And it's usually just the basics. Simple basic shit. A good character. A problem that's got to be solved. People trying to figure out the fucking solution to the problem. Shit happens. It's exciting when this shit happens. It's
close calls. And then even worse shit happens.
It's very fucking simple. A low budget movie from fucking Thailand about a dude trapped in a damn pool where the alligator did a fucking perfect job of it.
I loved that movie. All right. I really did.
And this is a fucking low budget movie, okay? But it was from the heart. Hollywood can't even come close to that anymore because it's got its head up its ass. There's too many damn corporate fucking know-nothings in there telling... Too many cooks in the kitchen. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, and like I said, they're too worried about money.
Too many goddamn cooks in the kitchen.
I mean, everybody wants their movie to be successful. Yep. Nobody wants it to be terrible and lose money, but that can't be your only concern. You have to make And it's funny that you brought up that Thai movie, The Pool, because it's like, yeah. When we were watching that movie, and I think we said it on the review, I was just like, now this is how you make like a low budget, yep. one location movie.
Yep.
It's just this poor guy in this terrible situation, and then it just keeps ramping up and ramping up and ramping up. And just like worse shit keeps happening to the dude, and you're like, no, oh no.
And the premise is fucking ridiculous. It is. He falls into the goddamn pool, and there's no water in it, and he can't get out of the fucking pool. And the alligator's
and
in the fucking
pool. And
then
there's a crocodile.
And that's just the beginning of the fucking problem.
And then it just gets worse. It gets worse. It piles on.
And it was an entertaining, low-budget movie that fulfilled the audience by watching it. And today's Hollywood can't even fucking come close to that. You could give a... They're going to try to make a billion-dollar movie. You watch the shit and you go like, that fucking shit sucked. Because it doesn't speak to you.
Yeah, it's like, and even if it didn't suck, it's just like not all that memorable. It's just kind of like, eh.
It's like you got onto a ride at Disneyland and you got off and you were like, what happened?
Yeah.
And that's,
it's kind of fun while you were watching it, but then you don't remember it a few days later.
It didn't really speak to you on a human level. That was like the problem with Marvel movies. I'll be kind of enjoying them when I'm watching them, and then when they're gone, I'm like, what happened? What was that movie about?
Sometimes I don't even remember if I saw them or not later.
Yeah. Like, and
even though I enjoyed them at the time, I was just kind of like, a month later, I'd be like, wait, did I see that?
We saw Endgame, and evidently it wrapped up a whole bunch of other movies that I didn't see. But I just saw
some of them, so I was kind of behind.
But I just had a feeling that Endgame is kind of like the end of that game.
That's what it was kind of meant to be.
Yeah, I don't think that's a sustainable model. It's like you're only going to be able to make so many Lord of the Rings movies.
I mean, I liked the offshoot movies that Marvel started making, like Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, that was all right.
I liked Into the Spider-Verse a lot. That was like really cool. I would watch more of that. You know,
yeah,
like,
and all the Spider-Mans. I wanted to see more of the Art Nouveau or the Art Deco Spider-Man. The black and white Spider-Man.
The noir Spider-Man.
Noir, yeah.
They should, Spider-Man. Yeah, they should totally do a spin-off of, like, I'd even watch a whole series about noir Spider-Man.
Just cartoon.
Or the little pig one was kind of funny, too.
Yeah. But I don't know, that's all I got to say about it.
But so I think the same things that we liked about The Pool was the same things that I liked about this. It was focused very much on, you know, one or two characters. He was somebody that was put in like a shitty situation, and he was just like an average dude. So a lot of people could like relate to him and be like, oh fuck, man, like what do you do now? And he didn't really do anything. He didn't seem to do anything like intensely stupid or anything. I mean, he figured shit out like along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like I said, it was kind of like The Pool where it's like, you know, he'd have a little success, but then like shit would get worse. And then like, you know, and he just had to kind of go through it. And, but you know, it's just a really, really decent like zombie movie.
What I'm going to say, you know, fucking Ken's telling me that I need to be running Hollywood. Hollywood's running itself into the ground. Just let that Titanic, that Titanic already hit the iceberg. It will regroup. They just have to get rid of all that old blood. They have to get rid of all that money.
It'll just regroup into like smaller studios.
Exactly.
That'll make like kind of smaller, more niche kind of films, which is fine with me.
Movies that are more story based. Because you have to understand, what they're emulating is low budget movies. Terminator 1 was low budget. Predator 1 was low budget. All right. But they were really well written. They were fun to fucking watch. And they try to recapture that fucking lightning in the bottle by just throwing money at the problem. That's not how you do it. It's writing. It's about characters. It's about story.
Yeah, if you don't have a good script, you don't have a good movie.
And then they want to come up and go, well, we have to fill this diversity checklist because those old movies fucking were not diverse and they sucked. I don't know what movie you saw. Predator 1 was diverse as fuck. They had a diverse cast. But that shit worked. Because it was a good fucking story, and you believed it. And really, you could say, well, Arnold was a star. It was an older movie. In a way, it was, all right? But if you go back and really analyze Predator 1, it's more like a Carl Weathers movie. Carl fucking holds that movie together. If Carl wasn't in that movie would not... It would be okay. It would not be a fucking classic. Because the reason why that movie has stood the test of time, and I'm getting off fucking topic, but I know you guys like this shit. The reason why that movie stood the test of time, it was on the back of the fucking scenes that had Carl and fucking Arnold doing a scene together. because Carl could act, it gave that movie gravitas. It made everything else serious.
Well, yeah, it, like I said, it made everything believable. It
made everything believable, right.
And that's all on the back of script and character. If you don't, like I said, if you don't have that, you don't have a good movie. If people don't give a shit about
And you're, and
your
you're dealing, and there's a lot of subtext, because it was the story was originally written by veterans. All right, you have two, you have Carl and you have fucking Arnold. I'm gonna call him. What was their names? Dutch, and what was fucking Carl's Weathers? Dylan. Okay, Dutch and Dylan. They were the same character, really, all right? But they were in a, they were the same kind of alpha male warrior kind of guy, but they were opposites. You had one that was a stand-up, play-by-the-rules, alpha male fighter. But then you have Carl, and he was more like a sigma male, I guess you could say. And he was CIA, working in the shadows. He wasn't a stand-up fighter. He was a kind of... He would lie to get shit done because he grew up. He said that, you know. But in the end, fucking, it works out. Both of them were fighting to fucking against the same enemy. They were both kind of men of honor. They just had two different styles of doing it. And the reason why fucking Dylan was lying is because he was avenging the death of all the other guys that died fighting a predator that he sent down there. I'm getting ahead of it. Jeannie's looking bored, so maybe I should just stop talking. She's looking bored, so I'm just gonna stop talking.
Well, you can talk about it if you want. All right. I mean, we already reviewed Predator.
I already talked about
but...
it, but yeah. But he was lying to fucking to get guys down there to avenge the death of his teams that he sent there before. Remember the guys that they found in the helicopter?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just going to do it any way he possibly could. And that was... But in the end, he died for that, and he... I wouldn't want to say atoned. That's not really the way to look at it. It was him dying against that thing and being killed was proof that he wasn't doing this shit ultimately for selfish reasons, that he was willing to die for it too. Which, that's really the subtext of that movie. That's what made that movie for me great. A great movie. Not a good movie, but a great movie.
Well, yeah.
Is that they died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They died for the shit.
Yeah.
And so Dylan was, I guess you could say, proven to be a man of honor by dying for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all I gotta say. But that kind of writing is what made... It wasn't the fucking special effects. That was only part of it. It was the writing.
Yeah.
That's what made that movie.
Well, like I said, if you don't have a good... And I feel like writers are kind of like underrated, like in a lot of movie making. Nah, because if you don't have a good...
If you don't have good writers... And see,
yeah,
and Jenny's a writer. She knows, all right? If you don't have a good fucking writer, you're not working with anything.
Because no one's going to care about what happens in your story. And if nobody cares what happens in your story, then it's not going to be a good movie because no one's going to give a shit.
And a problem with a lot of the fucking modern Hollywood movies is just too many goddamn characters. That was a big problem with Star Wars. They're trying to fucking fulfill a fucking checklist for fucking representation and all kinds of shit. They're not just telling a good story. They're going through corporate bullshit to try to make the movie appeal to every single fucking person. And they're trying to do it based on color. Well, man, I was identifying with guys that are black, you know what I mean, in the movies. They don't have to look like me to identify with them. That's some stupid marketing agent saying that. That's not how it goes. Fucking one of my great heroes growing up fucking was Axel Foley, that character.
Yeah.
And I fucking loved Beverly Hills Cop, you know. Me and my buddies wanted to grow up to be Eddie Murphy. We were white. So I don't really understand where this shit's coming from. You know what I mean? Because we thought that was fucking awesome. He's a cop. Okay? But he's telling you he wasn't always a cop. And then he's breaking these rules and shit. He's outside his jurisdiction. He's breaking into shit. You know? And then he's fucking doing his own forensics using super glue. And you know, to look for fucking fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
To avenge his friend who got killed by the Detroit mob for gangster shit that they were doing.
Yeah.
But he was a good guy. He wasn't a bad guy. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
All right, he was a guy who had turned over a new leaf and become a detective. But he didn't come out and say it, but you know that at one time he was a criminal. And I just thought that was a fucking great, and he was funny as shit.
Yeah.
And had a way with women and could talk his way in and out of things. Kind of like Fletch in a way. But, and I just, man, we just growing up watching Saturday Night Live, we just fucking loved that dude. So I don't really know about all this racial representation bullshit. We never fucking had that issue. This is an issue they're making up. All those movies were diverse. Like The Thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Childs and MacReady. You know what I mean? That shit was just fucking worked. You know what I mean? And it was a diverse cast, but it wasn't, didn't feel like it was done artificially on purpose to fill a checklist. They just were who they were, you know?
Yeah.
And fucking, I was identifying not only with MacReady, but with, you know, with Childs too. So I'm calling bullshit on Hollywood.
People are just people. Why should
yeah.
it be? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I said, this movie, you know, it did really well in Korea, like we were talking about before. And then when it came out on Netflix all over the world, it was number one in 35 different countries,
yeah.
including the U.S., including Spain, France, Sweden, Russia, Australia, Canada, all over the place. So everybody loves them, some Korean fucking zombie movies, yeah. especially when they're good like this one. We've seen a lot of really good Korean movies lately, haven't we, actually? But yeah, this has 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, so you know.
Yeah. Yeah, guys are also saying that Bill Duke was the shit in Predator. Yes, he was.
I'm gonna get me some.
Remember that shit? He's running up there with his fucking 60, his short belt 60. Yeah.
Bill Duke. I'm gonna have me some fun. I love that dude.
Yeah. He just fucking carried himself as a badass. You know, almost all those dudes in that movie were some kind of veteran. You know, a lot of them were either Vietnam era veterans. And they knew how to fucking become those roles because they were familiar with it, you know?
Yeah.
Great movie. Predator 1 will fucking be up there. It'll stand the test of time forever. It'll be up there with Alien 1 and 2 and Terminator 1. It's just difficult to beat those movies in that genre. Even Commando wasn't bad. I liked Commando. Bill Duke was in that too.
Yeah, he was.
It was more fun. It's more like watching a video game. It's like watching somebody play a video game.
Yeah.
And there's something about the score, with the music going, with the fucking beep, ding, 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 you know, with the damn fucking Caribbean sounding fucking percussion yeah. going, you know. It's good, man. Ray Dong Chong. Yeah. Fucking, it's a good movie. You know, and it wasn't trying to be something it wasn't. It was purely what it was. A fucking fast-paced action movie with a hero that you rooted for. And he went through boss fights, basically.
Yeah.
Like a fucking scroll, a side-scrolling video game. Like Ghosts and Goblins or some shit like that. Remember that game?
Vaguely,
Ghosts
yeah.
and Goblins. Yeah. Around. Yeah.
All right. But yeah, if you have Netflix and you have not yet watched blah, #alive, and you like Train to Busan, and you like other Korean zombie movies, you like zombie just good zombie movies in general, then I would definitely recommend it. It's pretty kick-ass. So check it out. Are you done?
Yeah.
Are we shutting the shit down?
Yeah, they're talking about have me some fun tonight. That's fucking
yeah.
Mac. He's playing Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fucking great character. I see you. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think he was probably my favorite character in there. But like I said,
they were all good.
I love Bill Duke and everything. They were all so good. It's like he's so fucking rad. He has like such a great face and a great voice.
Yeah. They were all. He was upside down, all sweating out in that fucking jungle. Fucking, you know, trying to get underneath the damn log, and the little three fucking dots hit him on the head. They were real fucking good about how they edited that. You knew it blew a big hole in his head, but you didn't really see it happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were very good with the editing back then. And fucking, it was just, that movie was just made with love, you know? And that was the problem.
Made with love.
They were just made with love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the score. Oh, I'm going off about it. It's like they're taking me. The audience is taking me back. You know what I mean? I want to see it again.
Well, you can watch it. You have it.
I have it, yeah.
Yeah, you can go. You can go in the room and watch it right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the future.
Yeah, it's the future. Go watch it whenever I want to watch it.
What a time to be alive.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
And then you compare that to the new Predator that came out. I have that one, too, and I tried to watch it again. I liked it in the theater all right. But I tried to watch it again, and man, just the flow of that movie is not right.
It was all right, but it wasn't fantastic.
It's the way the edit and the way that thing flowed, that it's just not right. It's not bad, it's just not right.
Yeah.
Something's
it
not
needed
right
some tweaking.
Yeah, it's just not right the way they have that thing.
I think if they'd have tweaked it a little bit, it would have been pretty good, actually.
It's too slow. It's too complicated. They're trying to tell too many stories at once. There's something's not right about it. I have to go back and totally analyze it.
Yeah.
But I tried to watch it again, and I just wasn't falling in love with it. And I just stopped it about fucking an hour into it. I was like, you know what? I don't really care. And that's the problem with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it was all right, but it was just kind of like,
yeah,
meh.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, we saw it in the theater, didn't we?
Yeah, and it was better in the theater because you have to sit through it. And you don't know what's going
to
happen.
We don't have to. You can get up and leave if you want.
You feel like you have to.
You feel like, yeah.
And you don't know what's going to happen. But it's not one that's real repeatable. Predator 2, it was easier to repeat. Really, Predator 3 is the best one besides Predator 1.
Yeah.
I liked that one.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Have either of you seen Rorschach? It's on YouTube. I have not seen it yet, but I will have to watch it on your recommendation. But yeah, so we will be back tomorrow doing another live stream. I think pretty sure we already watched the movie that we're going to, because I watched another new one that we can review tomorrow. So I'm not going to spoil it and tell you what it is. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time doing another live stream talking
about
another...
Yes, I did like Alien versus Predator films. They were okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think I saw the first one in the theater, but I don't, and I liked it, but I don't think I saw any of the other ones.
No, there's two of them, and they're both okay. They're at least they're movies. You know, they're movies.
They should put that on the front of the box.
Yeah.
At least it was a movie.
It's movies. Well, here's the thing. People are trying to go back and fucking compare it to Aliens and Predators and shit, and they're not perfect. Okay. The second one is a little dark. They're trying to hide the fact that the special effects aren't all that good. But at least it was a movie, and they were entertaining. Even the one with the pyramid under it was entertaining.
Yeah.
And then with the one running around fucking melting the shit in the swimming pool, and it was entertaining.
Yeah.
You know? They weren't perfect, but it was at least a bonus movie. You could see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Ken keeps he asked me if I saw a Serbian film. You know what? I've seen like parts of it. I probably should sit through it one of these days. I know what happens in it because I've read the Wikipedia summary. I don't know. In a lot of ways, like movies like that don't really bother me. But I've seen so many people comment. It's like, well, I watched it and like I'll never be able to unsee like all those images.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm kind of like. I don't know. It might not bother me that much. I'm kind
of
thinking
maybe.
Yeah,
they say at least it was a movie should be what I'm
at least that's what I said.
Well, here's the thing. You go back and watch those now, and they're a lot better than a lot of the bullshit that's come out, like fucking Terminator, Dark Fate, and all that kind of shit. There's a lot more heart in that second AVP2 than there is in, like I said, Terminator, Dark Fate.
Yeah.
They're a lot better than that. And fucking AVP1 is a lot better than Dark Fate. I mean, so people were really complaining about them at the time. But you could watch that now, and that's a lot better than the fucking bullshit that's been coming out of Hollywood the past 2-3 years. It's been pretty bad. There's been a couple of good ones, but it's been all indie flicks. Vivarium, fucking... I really like that fucking those two... What's his name? Eisenberg?
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg. I like his movies. I like the movies he wants to do. I liked Vivarium. I liked fucking Artists
at the Fence. We watched Vivarium again the other night, and I liked it just as much the second time.
Vivarium's a weird horror fucking sci-fi flick. It's like Predator, but very different. Alien gets you, makes you raise its baby. That's a weird fucking concept. And I just liked it.
Yeah, I did too.
It wasn't an action
movie,
but it was just like you're in this fucking trap. You got trapped in this thing in a parallel dimension. It looks like a fucking suburban landscape made by aliens, extra-dimensional aliens. They're fucking you up, making you raise their baby. It's weird, man.
I have not seen The Vast of Night yet. It's still on my list, but I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. So many people have recommended it, and I really need to get around to it. So it's like, it's on my list. I just haven't got to it yet. But I promise I will. And we'll probably review it, like, as soon as I see it. But yeah, all right. So we'll be back tomorrow doing another... matinee live stream of another new movie. So thanks you guys for stopping by and discussing stuff with us, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yep.
Bye.
We got split.